to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Everything is bigger in Texas.
And Dale Hummel.
Genetics give you the blueprint. The feed bucket builds the house.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
It's a big day.
Clearly. I don't know what. It's been something.
Year?
We're only 3 months into it, and it seems like it's been a very long year.
Do you remember when the big news was not that long ago that we basically invaded Venezuela?
I thought the big news is we kidnapped somebody. Now we've killed somebody. So, I mean...
With that, but do you hear anything of that at this point? It's gone. Our news cycle, there's so much going on. If it isn't within the past 24 hours, it's gone.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't think this newest news is going away, though.
Not for a little while, probably. And what are we, Epic Fury or Roaring Lion? It depends whether you talk to us or Israel.
I don't know. I just know we killed the supreme leader.
We did. And obviously, we're talking about the Iran war conflict. I don't know what you're supposed to term it, because there are Democrats in Congress that are saying it is an illegal war because it doesn't have congressional approval.
Well, and that's special of them.
I don't know the legal ins and outs, but I believe almost every, not every president, but most of them in recent history have committed acts like this without congressional approval or
their name wasn't Trump, though.
I agree. So we'll see how that all plays out. So I don't remember how long it was ago that we went and took out, in theory, their nuclear enrichment and their nuclear silos. When was that, Ryan?
I don't know.
It wasn't that long ago, but this is a much larger force in both from Israel and from the United States that we're not just taking out those. We're in my opinion, it appears, and there was a three-step plan put out this morning, and we're recording on a Monday. So by the time this drops Friday, it'll be old news. But there was a plan put out this morning to disrupt and basically destroy as much as they can on the military front or on the uranium enrichment. And then we're going to go into total degradation and eventually regime change. When they say that they're going to take out the Iranian military, they're talking about eliminating their entire Navy, basically every capability for them to launch any type of offensive forever. And I was unaware of how large their military is, but I saw a post, and I was on social media, Ryan. I was on Facebook, I believe.
That's amazing.
They have a larger military buildup, missiles, tanks, et cetera, than Israel. And that's surprising to me. And I believe between the US and Israel, they're gonna take it all out. And that will, I don't know. How does this end, Ryan?
You're asking me? Like, I am the person that knows how to end. I don't know. I don't think you can ever go wrong taking out one of these religious fanatic people. But as Clifton and I were talking before you got on there, that doesn't mean it ends. There's always another one to replace it. And who knows if the next guy is scarier than the last guy. I don't know those things. But it's not... I mean, I know you and your three-step plan that Mr. Hegseth put out. But I don't see this ending. That's me.
I agree that there's always someone that fills that void, and we're worried about that vacuum. My thoughts on this are, it can't be worse, even though in the past we've seen situations where it was, but this situation, it may not end as we like it, but I don't know how it could end worse. And if we've completely destroyed all of their military capabilities, I feel a little bit better about the world.
There you go.
And take out all their uranium enrichment. Basically leave them, even if they have a terrible person, dictator in charge, with their hands pretty well tied, that they have no access to resources, minus what China or Russia may allow them to have.
We shall see.
How do you think your friends in China and Russia are responding?
I don't think they're happy. But I, the one thing about this that I find the most interesting that everybody's talking about is how, like, all the other countries around them are like with the U.S. And normally they would not get involved, and yet they are involved. So I was like,
well, no. And I believe we even had the U.K., Germany, and France kind of flip that they were not going to be involved, where they're now going to be involved on a defensive strategic position in some order, which is crap. Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting to me that there is the neighboring countries in favor of what we're doing. I assume they were prior to this, not vocally expressing such. And then when Iran launched some missiles, I believe they hit a hotel in Dubai. They tossed missiles into nearly all of their neighboring countries. And when that happened, that was a terrible move on their part. Not very intelligent.
Clearly not.
I assume they were after bases, U.S. bases, and maybe it went astray. I really don't know how that.
I don't know how a U.S. base gets a hotel in Dubai, but that's.
Maybe their missile was just misguided a little bit.
Clearly.
I don't know. And we have lost American troops. And that is never something that we want to do.
Nope.
And they're pretty open that we're going to lose more compared to other conflicts and or wars. Extremely, extremely minimal. But if you're the family of one of those five, it doesn't feel.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does not. So that one's a hard one for me. Does it save hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of lives moving forward? I don't know, but it probably is the best way for me to put it. If they were to allow their terrorist fringe proxies enriched uranium that could set a dirty bomb off in New York, Chicago, wherever it may be, Houston, that's a problem. And doing
how are you going to bring Houston into this?
I just thought of getting a little closer. I could have said Crockett.
That'd have been fine.
I don't believe they can find
I won't Crockett. Be there.
So it's a big deal.
I will be in Houston. Don't bring Houston into it.
Leave Houston. I remember one time being evacuated from Houston because of a guy with a gun. They said was shooting, and it was actually out in the Midway, and a little thug.
I was there
fighting
that
with the carny. Yeah, we had to evacuate the center for a little while.
Yeah, it was great.
No, at the time it wasn't, because you really didn't know what was going on.
If you were at the hotel, at the bar, on the news, you knew what was going on.
That's possible. I was not. I was still at the show. So I don't know that pretty much dominates my current events, other than obviously the. Once this is over with and Trump can focus a little more on UAPs and UFOs, he will give us a briefing on just how much contact and for how long it's been that we've understood these people exist. I'm waiting for that.
I'm sure you are.
You know, Trump will not leave office without disclosing this. You're fully aware
he
of that.
He still has 3 years, sir.
I know. And it may be towards the end. I don't know. I think he's keeping that one in his back pocket for when he believes he really needs it. I think just before midterms would not be a bad time.
Of course, because that would be sooner for you.
Yes, and I think transparency is good. It'll make the U.S. population happy, and they go vote for the people Trump supports.
You said yesterday this was going to make everybody distrust the government even more.
But Trump is the savior. He is opening he's pulling back the curtain. I don't know how this is going to play. Historically, 20, 30, 40 years ago, this would have 50 years ago, even further back, I believe the populace would view this as the government is hiding too much from us. But in today's world, and this may not go over well, I think there are so many people out there that are simply sheep following others that are brain dead. I don't even know if they'll pay attention to it.
There you go.
It's going to get my attention, I promise you.
It has your attention the most.
It's the biggest news of the century, of any time.
Right.
If we have material that technologically is way beyond what we can ever figure out, that we're trying to reverse engineer, obviously there's something type of being that created such, whether they live deep in the ocean or from another planet, or I don't know where, among us, I have no idea from where. But the fact that those objects are out there that defy any logic in terms of engineering that we are aware of, that intrigues me. And that is a huge, that can change our entire world.
I'm not arguing with anything that you said there.
I hope we reverse engineer it before China or Russia.
Well, maybe the aliens didn't choose China or Russia. Maybe they chose
us. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I cannot answer that at any level, unfortunately. I wish I could, but I just don't. I don't know where that's at. Other current events, what is going on in Texas right now kind of leads us into our topic. But before that, I would like to acknowledge our sponsor, ShowFresh H2O. You have heard me talk about the benefits of keeping show stock on water. Short of hauling your own water from home, this is clearly a low-cost option with a huge return. ShowFresh H2O can be purchased at your favorite show supply trailer or at swampfox.com. We appreciate ShowFresh H2O's continued support of the junior livestock industry. What is our topic, Ryan? What is it?
You and your major shows, Texas major shows.
The monster Texas majors. And the reason we're doing this, and Ryan, you said we did one similar like in 150 episodes ago. So a long time ago, we talked about this. And this time of year, it's interesting to me because I'm spending time in Texas at the majors. Ryan is pretty much full-time from one major to another and then back to the major and so forth. So he's
hey, some of them I get to go three times.
He's going to explain it much better to you than...
Three times. Not just once. I get to go three times. All of them.
The reason I brought this up and wanted to talk about this again today, because I do get questions from show families that actively show at jackpots, state fairs, national shows in the north in this part of the world, and they've not had the privilege to attend a Texas major, in part because they can't show there, so there's not a driving force to get them there with livestock. You simply have to go to spectator or possibly help out another family and so forth. But you'd be surprised how many people that are showing at a very high level that are aware of the Texas majors, that they exist, but really know little about it other than what you hear over just talking, what we talk about on this particular podcast and so forth. So I think it's good. It's hard to put in perspective. I'm going to start off to try to do so. My first experience at a Texas major would have been, I believe, the Houston Stock Show and Rodeo, maybe Fort Worth. It would have been when I was judging in college. And the first time I can remember going to Houston, it was overwhelming to me. And I had been to many state fairs, to most of the national shows, but Houston probably hit me as hard or harder than any livestock event that I had been to. And I consider Louisville to be a huge undertaking and a monster show. I think maybe because I it was more that I grew up with it or had been there more, maybe it didn't hit me quite as hard. And I can assure you, not that many years ago, our children didn't travel with us to the majors in high school as much as they would like because of attendance issues that we have to deal with here in Illinois and with our schools. But I can remember the first time Katie went to Houston with us, and she'd shown at every national show and had been in this industry, obviously grew up in this industry. It hit her hard. It was overwhelming. So it's hard to imagine. If I put it into perspective from our business, we have two kidding seasons that we basically flush for fall borns, and then we flush again for spring borns. Approximately half of the kids that we have born here in Illinois with Hummel Livestock are bred, flushed, targeting basically the Texas majors. That's how large of a market one state is. And I understand everybody lives in the different states up here, maybe Oklahoma. You're always thinking, well, we've got the biggest, the best, all those things. In all reality, if you look at the sheer numbers that are in Texas in terms of kids showing, the number of animals, and we'll go through some of those at some of these Texas majors, it's not even close. It is so large, it's hard to wrap your head around. But Ryan is going to help us with that, aren't you, Ryan?
Sure.
Can we ask the first time you showed at a major? Is that allowed?
No, it's not. But anyway,
come on.
Long time ago. I am not the typical Texan that beats their chest and all this other stuff. We are the greatest and whatever, all this other stuff.
You cannot say that all Texans do that. There are not, and sometimes I worry you'll take offense of it, that they're very protective.
I'm unoffendable.
And we'll discuss that. And some of the Texas majors, at least on the Goat Arena, I believe on the Lamb Arena, possibly San Angelo, and we'll talk about this. They are very in-house, where only Texas bred goats are even allowed to show there. So there is a Texas pride and level of protection that is frustrating at times. But go ahead.
Back to my original statement. I am not the typical Texan that beats their chest and we're better than everybody else. I don't do that. But I do.
Did you not go to A&M?
Yeah, and I did not like any of it other than the judging part. So yeah, we've been over this. I wanted to go to SMU and be an actor, not go to A&M. So yeah. I don't wear maroon underwear. I'm not brainwashed.
Thank God she stepped in and
yeah, because it really fixed things. But anyhow, next, back to what I'm saying. If you just look at factual numbers, there is no question that Texas is the largest and grandest livestock show state. You can't get 1,800 steers to 3 shows a year. And we have that. Like Fort Worth, San Antonio, Houston, they all have about 1,800 steers show there. There's not 1,800. You add up all the national majors. There's not 1,800 at one of them. And you can throw OYE in that. And so, and it just is. We are blessed. I feel very lucky to have grown up in this state. I don't understand why more people, if you are serious about livestock, just absolutely dead serious about showing, very few people have ever moved from the Midwest or any state to just participate in this. And I have never understood it, because if you're serious about showing livestock, it has the most opportunities. And I'm not just talking about shows. I'm talking about scholarship opportunities, monetary opportunities, all these things. And so, yeah, it's really cool and it's really, really badass to live here. I guess racist. I don't know, because we don't let anybody else participate. You got to be from Texas. I don't know.
I want to interrupt on that one. You grew up with it, so it was pretty normal to you. I mean, I just thought that's how it was. You understood that other shows, national shows, allowed people to come pretty much from anywhere in the country. But that right there, I'm going to stand up for the Texans on this one, that they only allow Texas kids to show there. And we'll even talk a little bit about some of the district shows within Texas. But I get that. And I completely understand it, because there's a level of commitment that they go out to raise money for scholarships that you don't see anywhere else. And if I am on that committee, and if I'm a Texas parent or whatever it is, raising all that money, I'm going to want to stay at home, if that makes sense. And that to me is completely and totally justified, that they're going to keep the others out when there's that. If there weren't the scholarship numbers and so forth involved, I don't think the program would probably be as large as it is. But with that in play, I
just agree with that, because before I showed back when we didn't have scholarships and the numbers were that big.
Still big, yeah. No, that makes sense. If the scholarships weren't there, then I would have a harder time defending keeping it Texas only.
It's just something. And, you know, the thing of it is, for me, is I travel a lot to a lot of different states, judging shows, attending shows, whatever, all this other stuff. And every state that I go to, you hear people talk about how, at the county fair level, I'll say, I won't say state fair level, but county fair level, I'll say that their numbers are down. There's no numbers down in Texas. And I think it is just because, more than any other state, we have so many opportunities that it keeps getting not only the people that were involved that bring their kids back to be involved, but we get different people involved because of the number of opportunities that are available for kids that show livestock in the state.
And numbers continue to grow at the majors.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know what those numbers are, just looking in general.
I gave you the ones from San Antonio yesterday.
Yeah, but I don't have anything to compare that to. And I'm assuming some species bounce up and down depending on a given year. But Houston, and we're going to bounce maybe just a little more here from one major to another. But I want to start with Houston, as it's coming up here shortly. They claim, I don't know they, even if you do some research, that the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is consistently the largest event of its kind in the world. And this hit me hard, Ryan. I know you've given me some numbers on San Antonio, and I think we've even looked at animal numbers that were shown at Houston before. But I want to look at just the general attendance. And the total attendance at Houston, Ryan, do you have any idea how many people come through that gate at Houston?
No, I don't have a clue.
So for our audience, this starts March 3rd, and runs about 20 days, ends March 22nd. So it's a 20-day give or take event. There's nearly 2.5 million people come through the gate. Obviously, there's rodeos, there's concerts, the livestock show. All it's not just pointing out, not just to the livestock building, but attendance in general. That is staggering to me. Absolutely staggering. So it's a huge undertaking to go through that. And you think about the number of people that Houston Stock Show and Rodeo employs and even more volunteers. It's pretty amazing. Over 150,000 people on a given day will be at the Houston Stock Show and Rodeo. So pretty amazing. And I did pull up some numbers. This would have been last year. The total, they refer to it as student exhibitors, basically junior exhibitors, somewhere between 35 and 38,000 Texas 4-H and FFA students will compete at Houston. That's hard for me to even imagine, Ryan.
We have all kinds. I mean, we have archery. We have all Houston has all kinds of weird contests that are not livestock based or whatever than that number. But I mean, yeah, it's still, I mean, like I said, Houston is typically the biggest one, but I mean, 5,000 pigs and 2,000 steers. And I mean, you just go on and on and on. And it's not like it's just one year this happens. It's every year. And it's been that way my entire life. Like, it's just really, if you're not from here and you don't grow up with it, or if you're someone like me that travels to judge and sees it, it's really hard to not be extremely overwhelmed by it, even somebody that grew up in it. Now, for those people that don't ever leave the state and only show here, you probably think this is normal. Because I went to Kansas City, Louisville, Denver, Arizona, you know, all those years. I was like, why are these shows so small?
And it's a national show.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, because like you leave your state and you're going to your first ever national show and you get there and you're like, where's all the cows? Like, literally, that's what I said when we got to Kansas City first year. I was like, where is everybody? But then when you get out as an adult or whatever, and it's just unfathomable what we have in our state. And what? So that is why a lot of people that are in the livestock industry in Texas, I think because there is immense pride and there should be.
I am not even going to argue with you, but I'm going to put something in perspective. And this one hit me pretty hard. And I think I've used this example before. I've never been this fortunate. But our manager, Craig Benoit, he and I... Future son-in-law. We would travel to Texas on a pretty regular basis, not just for the Texas majors, but to sometimes deliver goats, check on families, etc. And I don't remember how long ago this was, probably 5 to 10 years ago. He is down there checking on families. We basically fly into Austin, San Antonio, wherever it is, and cover as much of the state as we can in the matter of 3 or 4 days in general. So there's a lot of driving. I do not adhere to speed limits as well as I should. I don't believe he does either. So he gets pulled over. I don't know where he was. But he gets pulled over, and it's a rental car, and he gives him his Illinois driver's license. And the police officer asks him, well, just what are you doing? Why are you here? And he explains that he's the manager of Home of Livestock and checking on 4-H goats and different families in the area. And that police officer was very aware of 4-H and showing, and even aware of Home of Livestock selling goats into Texas, and he understood it. And I want to go beyond that.
Did you still get a ticket?
He did not get a ticket.
Jesus, I'm going to start using that.
He did not get it. So I guess what I'm getting at,
I'm on a podcast with Del Hummel. Don't give me a ticket.
It's almost a culture is what I'm getting at.
Oh, it is
a culture. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's not people in Dallas or somewhere that don't understand showing livestock or are not real aware of it. But a larger portion of the population in the state of Texas, when somebody talks about 4-H or FFA or showing livestock, they're connected and or exposed to it, or at least understand it far greater than what we do anywhere else in the country.
Well, and, you know, you just said that there somebody in Dallas may not know about it. You know what the weird thing is, and you talk about it being a culture within us or whatever, but in the state, like, yes, there are people that may not know what it's about, but they've seen it on TV, or they've gone to the state fair, or they've gone to Houston, they've walked through the barns, they've done something. And that's because in every area of this state, there's Fort Worth, there's San Antonio, there's Houston, there's state fair, there's Angelo, there's Austin. There is one of these big, huge shows that even the city folks go out to. Maybe not every year, but they've done it once.
And we talked about that number, 2.5 million people going to through Houston. A lot of those are city people right there in Houston. The majority of them.
Overwhelming majority of them are city people.
When you fly into, and I can maybe use San Antonio as an example. You fly into San Antonio Airport, you go down to baggage claim, or even before you get there, guess what all the pillars are wrapped in?
Basically, San Antonio flyers, stock shows.
Yeah, San Antonio stock show flyers. And you're not going to see that at O'Hare, just in case anybody's wondering.
No, and I mean, I'm in Florida right now. I'm going to judge tonight and tomorrow night. But when I was going through the airport, everything was Houston stock show. Yep. I mean, and it, just like you said, at San Antonio and stuff like that. But because there is one of these big rodeos and livestock shows at almost every point of the state, part of the state. Like I said, I'm not saying they go every single year, but even the city folks have probably been to one of them one time. And so they have that experience. And so that is what makes it different in a large part here, because like you said, 2.5 million people going through Houston. I'm going to say 75% are metropolitan people.
Or even higher. I think it's the awareness, maybe is a better term to put it. They are aware that this is taking place. And I think because of that, and it's usually shed in a very positive light, that makes it easier to raise these scholarship dollars.
Mm-hmm.
People have heard of it. They understand it. They get it. And it's not, we just gave you numbers from Houston. We'll give you some of the other numbers as well. And it's big. Houston may be the largest, but I'll tell you what, San Antonio's not far behind. Ryan, you had some numbers on that you texted me. Do you have that in front of you by any chance, or remember them? You can dig them up. I'm sure of it.
I've got it. I got to find it.
I'm trying to find. I had some gate attendance and so forth at San Antonio.
So 2026, these are just numbers of like livestock in 2026 San Antonio, which we just got done. Junior breeding sheep, 1,028. Junior breeding gilt, 916. Junior breeding heifer, 1,866. Junior breeding goat, 527. Market sheep, 1,535. Market bears, 3,209. Market steers, 1,895. And market goats, 1,133.
So stop. Let's go back to your market steer number. What was it?
1,895. 2,000.
I mean, we have some, what I consider, big state fairs up here. We have Louisville, Arizona, Kansas City, Denver, the national shows. I think you're right, Ryan. I think you could add up all the national shows, and I don't think you can, in steers for sure. I don't know about maybe the lambs and goats get close, but it's still pretty overwhelming. Pretty incredible. How many pigs? 3,000 some?
3,209.
Just unbelievable to me.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if you can in every species, but I'm telling you, you can take all the steers from every other national show that's held in the country, and it's not going to equal half of one
show. And there are five Texas majors and some very, very large district shows. So there's, I'm going to say there's a dozen fairly large shows in the state of Texas. Not just one. It's not like every family's coming to the state fair alone. There are families that will attend all of them. And when we talk about this being a culture and the awareness within the community, that to me is even larger than just hearing those numbers. When you get to be a part of that and live that, I'm going to leave here next week or in a couple weeks to go to the Rio Grande Valley Livestock Show, Mercedes, Texas, I believe. Ryan, does that sound right?
Correct.
The town correctly, basically on the border, right? Yes. On the border. And that show is as far south in Texas as you're going to get.
And only certain people can participate.
Yeah, I don't know the boundaries. It's, it would be considered kind of a district show, I assume, if you want to put a technical term to it. And I didn't know what to expect the first time I went there. We had a family. We have several families down there that purchased from it. So I go down to check on them and then try to get there to the show to support them and give any assistance that we can. But the first time going there, I really didn't know what to expect. And there are a lot of livestock there. The numbers are huge, just like you see across the rest of the state. Just amazing to me. And then there's a one down day, and we have clients showing goats at Austin. It just, this time of year, it's just one after another after another. And some overlap, as Ryan talks about, going from one major to another, depending on what wave is in. When we talk about waves, so you will have, let's say that the lambs and goats are in this week at a major. As soon as they move out, maybe cattle move in, maybe hogs move in, and it just continues. I couldn't tell you how many waves there are at San Antonio or Houston, but it's a lot, I assume.
No, there is. And I think for the lamb and goat people, they probably have it the easiest because all the lambs and goats are pretty much the same time in each show. And so if you want to do multiple species, then it makes it easier. But like, Addie wants to show hogs the damn bad. She can't even see straight. But like, between doing junior heifers and junior steers at all these shows, we've got two trucks and trailers going up in the road. Like, not this week, but the next week, we will show a heifer in Houston. And when we get done, we will drive to Austin to show our steer the next morning and then come back and show steers at Houston. I mean, like, your life is insanity from Fort Worth till Austin's over. If you do every single one of them like we do, and if you do breeding and market, and then you try to add another species into it, it's just crazy.
And if I don't even know how you can. And there are families that will show multiple species.
Oh, they are. I mean,
many families, sheep and goats. And to my knowledge, they are all.
But there are people that do. I mean, I know people that have done all four of them. I know people that do cattle and pigs. I know people that whatever. I just can't convince her daddy to go with me on the crazy train yet. But she's still young. She's just turned 11. So we'll get to the crazy train soon.
And to strengthen what we talked about in terms of it's a culture in the state and the awareness is high. I'm not saying every school, and I have no idea what each one has for rules or attendance regulations, but compared to Illinois and many other states, the fact that the ag teachers will go with the students to these majors, the fact that those students are oftentimes excused to go show at the majors, and again, I'm not saying every school in Texas, but in general, it's looked at much more favorably as a learning, even an educational experience, as it is, than other places throughout the country. So they can be gone to these events during their high school years for sure, and hopefully not be pulled back too hard in terms of their academics at whatever school they may be at. And that lends itself back to the culture. Yeah. Ryan, we talked about Houston numbers. I have some. I found some here at San Antonio. In terms of gate attendance and so forth, because we think of Houston being the huge one, there's nearly 1.5 million people that come through the gates of San Antonio. So is it as big as Houston on gates? No, but that's pretty large. And nearly the same number of junior exhibitors, 30 to 35,000 junior entries. And one thing we haven't brought up when we're talking about the steer numbers, the lamb numbers, the goat numbers, the pig numbers. Guess what? Each student is only allowed, I believe at all the majors, to bring one pig, one barrow, one goat wether, one lamb wether. It's not like they're bringing two or three. So when you think about that many lambs at San Antonio Stock Show, that is basically that many families that are there or close to it. There may be some families that have two kids showing, but that's huge.
Oh, yeah. No.
And is it one at every major? I believe it is. At least in the goat and the lamb side, you can only take one.
No, you can. I mean, there's some exceptions, not many, but mostly, at least Fort Worth,
junior market animals.
Fort Worth, San Antonio, San Angelo, San Antonio, San Angelo, Austin, and Houston. It is only one market animal or one breeding animal per species per kid, period. Fort Worth, I think you can only take one hog, one steer. You can only take one breeding animal, but you can take more than one in the sheep and goat sides at Fort Worth.
Yep, I believe that to be correct.
I think you can just take one goat, but maybe you can take more sheep. I know you can.
But even on the breeding side, they limit you.
Right.
Wow. See, I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes of those numbers in terms of how many families are actually involved. Just amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. So we've talked about Houston a little bit. We've talked about San Antonio. I guess maybe we can back up here, and the first major of the year would be Fort Worth, Ryan. And everybody's pretty excited about it because it is the one that kind of kicks off major season. They went through renovations the past 2 years, 3 years. And the buildings, I think they kept the external structure similar, but really redid a lot inside and it made some huge, huge improvements there. And Ryan, you had talked to me about how Fort Worth is different because it is privately funded. I don't remember how you explained that.
I mean, I still don't know if it still is I think it is, but Fort Worth used to be a privately owned livestock show.
Got it. Where the others are tied into the city, into the state, and into something.
And into a nonprofit type of thing. Yeah.
Got it. Well, Fort Worth is one that I can remember, I guess, when I was there, I believe on the judging team for the first time, maybe the hog show was going on. And I watched them come down this very narrow alley and the judges there to sift them in or out of the ring. And I'm thinking they can't hardly see these dang things. They're coming at them in a 4 foot wide alley, and they've got to make a decision one after another. It kind of blew me away, Ryan, just a little bit.
And if you were watching the hogs, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If you're a big hog person or whatever, watching the sifts at all of these shows in Texas is just something, because like I said, 3,200 plus at San Antonio, all this other stuff, whatever, like. If you get pulled, that has made
we celebrate
quite an achievement. Yeah. And so it's just, and that's in every species. If you, like, when they pull them off the wall in the sheep show or the steer show or the goat show, like getting pulled to stay in the deal, that's a big, big achievement. I mean, granted, majority are there to try to get a sales slot, but you first got to get pulled.
No, exactly. And we talked about Fort Worth and in terms of renovations and how it's the first one of the year. There's over 1 million people that attend that. So, I mean, these are just huge. It's hard to wrap your head around. And again, of those gate people that walk through that gate, a lot of them are going to be from the city of Fort Worth or Dallas or neighboring areas. And just amazes me how they can bring that many people into it. We can have a show outside of the state of Texas and almost nobody that's not involved directly in our industry is going to show up in any manner. I understand the concerts, the rodeo, all of that is a huge pull and they do a great job of fostering such. So I commend them. And that's part of getting those people there. But once they're there, they're very much aware of showing livestock, 4-H, FFA, all of the above.
No. But
you know what we haven't talked about?
What?
And I almost forgot this. And you're going to have to catch me up because I don't know. I go back to almost 40 years ago, my first experiences with the Texas Majors, and I've been very fortunate to go, I'm going to say every year since, at least to one of them. I remember the sort for the Houston Stock Show and Rodeo, and why can't I remember the name of the town?
Brenham, the Brenham Pig Sift.
The Brenham Hog Sift.
Everybody misses the Brenham Pig Sift.
I honestly do. We would take judging teams or my judging team there and all the hogs that I assume were the ones that were sifted out, not going to the show, were there on hand that we could pull from and make judging classes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be there for
hours,
have many classes as you'd like.
Hours and hours and hours on end.
for those that don't understand this, and Ryan, you're going to have to explain it to us how it is now. It's different. But you would show up at Brenham, and were there not more than one station they were sifting, or just Brenham for Houston?
No, it's just Brenham. Now, the sheep went to Rosenberg. That's what you're thinking.
So different towns for different species.
Yes.
So it's basically a stockyards or a sale facility that all of these hogs would come into. And because there wasn't enough room at Houston to house all of the pigs, they would have a sift prior and basically sift down to whatever they had capacity for.
That made the
sale.
And it would make the sale.
So if you got through Brenham, you're automatically in the sale.
Right. And you would go to Houston and for the final show. And so
Brenham was 2 days, 3 days before the show, maybe at Houston. Oh, God, I don't even know. But it's a pretty big ordeal. And the judges that would be judging Houston would be there early at Brenham to do the sort or the sift.
Oh, yeah. No, and then everybody, like the Brenham pig sift, you either, when you go down this alley, you would either automatically go blue to Houston or you automatically get on the truck, or then they put you in the Dead Sea. And so they do this for all the breeds and all this other stuff. And at some point, depending on the weight class or whatever, the ones that were maybes, he'd go back and pull some more and all this. It was one of the most dramatic things you've ever been through.
And you have seconds for that judge to evaluate your pig. Seconds.
Just one of the most dramatic things you've ever been through. And when we used to, I mean, because I showed a lot more sheep than I did hogs, Rosenberg, to get that dot that you were going to Houston, then you knew you made the sale or whatever, that was a big deal. And so people don't even realize that until they built the new facility, not everybody got, even though you may have been participating in the Houston Stock Show, you may have not actually got to Houston. Exactly. You may have got left at Rosenberg or Brenham or something like that. And so,
So now with the new facility, everybody is there, and the sift is taking place there, basically.
Correct. Yes, that is correct.
That is interesting to me. And there are no longer any offsite sifts.
No.
Houston would have been the last one, like at Brenham and so forth.
Right.
That intrigues me so much. And now, just like back at Brenham, if you're a hog exhibitor, that when you made it onto Houston, you were guaranteed X amount because you're going to be in the sale. And that was the goal of many families. Let's just get to Houston. Let's get in the sale. Through Brenham, now, because they're all the sorts are done at the stock shows themselves. And I just came back from San Antonio not that long ago. I believe it was 9 or 10, 9, I believe, goats out of each class would make the sale. And the judges are very conscious of this, and they're aware of what's going on. They'll spend as much time on that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, those 3 or 4 animals, because it is that big a deal. As maybe, I'm not saying that they're not paying attention to the first, second, third, but they're conscious that we're just not pulling them in. And in all reality, if you're in a larger show, judges are going to pull those. You're going to have in 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, depending on the size of the class, probably a lot of variation, good, bad, or indifferent, just variation where you could justify pulling them in nearly whatever order you so choose. And sometimes there's not a lot of time spent because you could make a case either direction. I'd like to think those judges, the majors, are putting quite a bit of thought into it. And those are large enough classes. Usually you're looking at least a similar type of animal, if that's what you've made the first pull and that's what you have out there to pick from. But it's a big deal. And when that person gets pulled into 9th, you're going to have some applause from not only their family, but the crowd in general. They're happy for them. And that is defined as success. Where if we go to the Illinois State Fair, all the exhibitors in the pig barn, if they don't have a champion breed or champion overall or champion Land of Lincoln, guess what they go home feeling, Ryan?
Defeated.
Yeah, pretty much. And I can't say everyone, but I'm going to say the majority of the people. that is the goal, is to win that breed champion or the grand overall, where I like the concept. Our goal is let's make the sale, and then let's work as hard as we can to win a class or a division or to go as far as we can. But the fact we made the sale, that's a pretty big accomplishment, and it's recognized.
Yeah, I think that in this state, I mean, granted, there are people that go to win, but I think the overwhelming majority of people in this state, regardless of species, that if they get one of those sell slots at a Texas major, that is a huge sense of pride and achievement and a victory. I mean, I just, that's how it's looked at. And I mean, of course, you want more. But I think overall, just getting to make the sale at a Texas major show is a huge win in itself for the people in the state.
Absolutely. We've only talked about a few of them. Let's at least bring up a couple others. The next one I'd like to talk about is Austin. We have Rodeo Austin coming up in what, a couple weeks? Probably going on already, but I won't be there for goats for a couple weeks.
No, I don't think it started yet, but it and Houston are pretty much the same time.
Back to back anyway. And I think some overlap, there used to be at least.
No, they go on the exact same time.
Wow. Yeah. So I remember the goat and sheep people at one point. You would be done at Houston and basically the next day into Austin.
And that's how it works. I mean, you can do both, but like they are the dates of the deals are almost the exact same.
No, exactly. And that would be the final of the five majors if
yes,
you're going
correct.
In order.
Correct.
So by that time, people are, they're a little wore out sometimes if they've been attending more
might
than one.
Might be a little cranky. Might be a little
maybe. Cranky. Maybe. Not you, of course, but others.
No, no, man. So you said Houston was March 3rd through the 27th? Is that what you said?
I believe so, yes.
Well, Rodeo Austin's March 13th through the 28th. Yeah. So
pretty much right on top of each other.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, we're talking gate attendance, and I just pulled it up here. At Austin, we're a 500,000 guests over 60 days, which is huge. Is it Houston number, San Antonio number? No, but it's pretty darn big. Exhibitor numbers close to 10,000 each year. That's even if, let's take Houston, let's take the others out. If we started talking about 9,000 exhibitors at a given national show, that's pretty big. I don't think it happens.
No, I mean, not like Louisville and Kansas City and Denver and whatever, like maybe with open show, but we're talking about junior
exhibitors.
We're not, these aren't open numbers, all this other stuff. I mean, it's huge. And I don't know what Oklahoma City's numbers are or OYE's numbers are. They're big too.
Yeah.
I do find it, and I'm not picking on OYE, but I do find it funny that OYE has always said that it is the largest junior livestock show in the world or in the nation or whatever. And the reason they can say that is because they don't have an open show attached to it. But because you just look at it, their numbers are not as big as the Texas.
And I don't honestly know what those numbers are. And you can bring more than one animal.
And you can, yeah, and they're not.
And so, we'll pull that up and check on that. I'm curious to see what those numbers are because that
Okies, don't get offended. I just find that funny that y'all use that as the tagline for y'all show.
Well, maybe they have more numbers. Maybe.
They do not.
We do not know. We have not looked
at they do not.
There's a lot there.
Okay, Dale.
Well, we will look it up before the next episode.
They don't have 1,800 steers.
I would say no. They do
they don't
not.
Have 500 steers.
I have not counted them, but I don't. It seems very unlikely. How's that? Oh, very unlikely. God. But we'd hate to make statements if we don't have the actual numbers, which we'll get those. We'll get them. See where it's at. So Austin. I mean, I enjoy going to Austin, and usually I have it backed up to the Rio Grande Valley Livestock Show, and in 5 hours later from Mercedes, I'm in Austin with my rental car. They're going to charge me more to drop off at a different location, but it works. but good. Very, very good. Always interesting to me. And the other thing we haven't talked about, Ryan, that people in this part of the country or the North would assume. So when you go to all of these, except for Fort Worth, and I'm speaking from the lamb and goat side, but I think it applies across species. Fort Worth, if you're not in the sale, and there's not many that make the sale, your division champion in reserves and grand and reserve overall, at least in the sheep and goats, is, I believe, primarily what makes the sale. There may be more sheep that make it, but would we say it's a smaller number that make the sale, Ryan?
At Fort Worth. Only breed and reserve breed champions.
That's what I thought. I didn't know if it went down further in the steers or in the cattle.
Oh, no, steers, it's top 10 in every class, but every other species, it's just breed and reserve breeds or division and reserves.
Yeah, that's what I assume. So that is the only one that if you're not in that sale, at least in the lamb and goats, you can take that animal home and go to more shows. All of the other majors, to my knowledge, those are terminal. You're done. So it's not
steers
like
or not, but in sheep and goats and pigs.
And pigs. Yes. So it's not like you take that goat from San Angelo to Houston to San Antonio or whatever direction you want to say. They're not showing one animal. If you're going to five majors, you're going to have at least four animals and probably more, obviously. But it's amazing to me where we're not just these. These exhibitors and these animals that are showing at Houston, it's a different set at San Antonio. It's a different set at Austin. Those shows are terminal. Those animals are gone.
Yes.
And start doing the math on just the numbers.
You just can't take the one to every single one till you get a cell hole in the small species. No. That does not work.
And the steers, you can.
Yes.
Okay. You know, if you don't make a sales, you make a sales slot, it's gone, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, Fort Worth, you can pull out, but everywhere else, if you get a sale hole, then you are dead. Yeah.
So at Fort Worth Steer Show, the top 10 can go to the sale, but you can opt out if you choose.
Right.
Got it. And if you opt out, you can keep the animal. If you go through the sale, it's gone.
Correct.
Got it. Interesting to me. So that brings a whole nother spin on it. When these shows are terminal like this, because we don't have that many terminal shows. We used to have more. A lot of the state fairs were terminal in the north. A lot of the shows now, I can't even, I mean, I if it is terminal outside of the state of Texas, it's a rarity. It's no longer the norm by any means. So it's interesting that increases animal numbers exponentially. So pretty impressive there. We haven't talked about San Angelo yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you talk about that one. I have not been to San Angelo.
That's because you don't like them because they don't.
I don't.
Want Yankees participate.
I don't. And did you? So I'm gonna. I'll qualify that. I'm not saying I don't like him. Actually, Mr. Jonas, I think he's a good person. The guy that
runs you used that. To go till they outlawed you.
I did. So the and I don't know if it's in the sheep or the other species, Ryan. Maybe you would know. Angelo Stock Show in the Goat Arena. I'm only going to speak for in my lane here that I'm familiar with. Exhibitors cannot take a goat to show there, a weather goat, a junior market goat, unless it was purchased in the state of Texas. Now, how many people are abusing that rule? How many people are bringing goats into Texas and brokering them as Texas goats?
Are I'm you sure. saying we're cheating?
No, I'm just saying that rule is probably impossible to enforce. I have not pushed it at all. I have not developed a satellite down there like some may have recommended that I do. I've adhered to it, and we have a big enough market that are going to the other Texas majors, the county shows, the district shows, that it really hasn't had an impact on what we produce or sell into the state of Texas. But they will not, it technically, you cannot show a goat that was raised out of state or born out of state at that show. Do you know if it's that way in the other species there, Ryan?
I do not know about pigs, but the steers, it is not that way. Your steer can come from anywhere.
And I think at one point the lambs were. I don't know if they are now.
I don't know that either.
So that's interesting to me. I'm not sure. I assume it's the Texas Goat Breeder Association that is pushing for those type of things. And I get it. If I'm a Texas goat breeder, I probably try to do the same thing. I mean, you're protecting your own and creating a market.
I just don't think they like you.
I don't think I'm the only person out of state, out of the state of Texas selling goats into the state of Texas. I'm pretty sure. So I don't think it's just me, but yeah, I used to go to Angelo and enjoyed my time there. I do remember that the hotels were always expensive, but that was back during the rental boom, I believe.
There you go.
There are a couple others. I talked about the Rio Grande Valley show as a district show, and I don't even know what the boundaries are for that. But there's another show in the state of Texas that has really been on the upswing, I guess, and I'm fairly familiar with it. A former student of mine helps out with that show, and that's the Grandstand. And that used to be, they used to call it the old Curvy, I think this used to be referred to as Kerrville, Ryan.
I don't know. I mean, it's the Kerrville District Show is what I think.
I think it's renamed, and in other words, this is the Grandstand's been around for a few years. It only brings in, I don't know how many counties in Texas. The entire state is not allowed to go there. I think from a space standpoint, and I think from an auction standpoint, they're very proud that they have an auction that's pretty darn good. Comparable, I'm assuming, in terms of sales slots to what you're getting at the Texas majors. So consequently, a lot of people would like to come to take advantage of that sales slot. But I assume that they're a little nervous that if they continue to increase numbers, the support for the sale is going to drop just a little bit in terms of the average prices and so forth. So I don't know how all those mechanics work, but that is one that when I get calls from families in Texas looking at goats, I probably hear as many families saying, "Hey, we're looking for a goat for the Texas Majors, the Grandstand, basically that set of shows." And that one's right there in terms of the families I visit with. That's a pretty big deal to them. So I think that's good, and I'm sure there's many district shows across the state. I'm just not as familiar with them, Ryan. And when we say districts,
we do not have a district show in every district. The Grandstand and Rio Grande Valley are pretty.
That was pretty much it. Got it. Well, I'm familiar with both of those and just amazed with the effort and the time that goes into those. When I told you the first time I was at the Rio Grande Valley, I didn't know what to expect. And it's a huge event. I mean, absolutely huge event. And I believe when it's going on between Houston and Austin, it's pretty hard for those families to go to either Houston or Austin if they're participating in that local district show. So kind of a big deal. Other information on Texas majors, Ryan?
No, but just because you were arguing with me, I'll give you a little fun fact.
OIE, you didn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah, I did. So they had 1,110 market weathers last year. They had 500.
That's a lot.
Still not as big as Texas majors.
Market lamb weathers or goat weathers?
Market lambs. They had 567 weather goats. 516 steers. I didn't get to add up the pigs. And you can show multiples. So again, I'm not trying to get all Texified on you.
I think you're getting Texas proud. I think you
are. It's not close.
I appreciate you looking up the numbers. Those are pretty darn good numbers, by the way.
They're amazing numbers.
Yeah.
And OIE is a great show and should be very proud. It's still very, very funny to me that they broadcast themselves as the world's junior largest livestock show. I'm just saying.
There is one more thing we haven't talked about in this episode. I'm sure we've talked about it before. And Ryan, you have to correct me. I'm only in the goat and sheep lane, but once you win Houston or San Antonio or any of the technical five majors as an exhibitor in that species, you're done.
You're done.
Reserve grand?
Nope. You can go back. Yep. But grand.
So some people, because of how well that reserve grand sells, wouldn't it be ideal to get reserve every year until your senior year?
Yeah, and the senior years never work out. So that's a terrible idea, Shrek. Terrible, 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 terrible idea.
So oftentimes you will find, especially in the sheep and goat barn or arena, if they win in the lamb show, they bounce over to the goats and vice versa. I'm sure they do into the other species as well. But I'll tell you what, getting one Texas major champion in any species in your show career should be considered a huge win. Huge. And that is good, really good. Anything else, Ryan?
I have nothing else.
So I will be at...
Made my point.
I will be at Rio Grande Valley. No, I'll be at Houston next, and then Rio Grande, and then Austin. will you be at any of those at the same time? Not the, you won't be at Rio Grande for sure.
No, I will not be at Rio Grande. I will be at Houston and Austin pretty much for the next 3 weeks at one of the two of them.
So I believe last year I was able to go from the goat show over to the junior heifer show at Houston.
Like when I leave Florida, I am at Houston and Austin till the 27th.
Got it. So I will probably, we were at San Antonio the same day. Did not see you. I tried. I reached out, people. I reached out.
I told you what time we were going to show. You didn't.
I said, Ryan, I would love to take you out to lunch. I'd love to spend time with you. I would love to cuddle with you on the show box, whatever.
No, he's lying. He's absolutely lying.
I did ask you what time I thought you'd be showing. I did ask.
Yes, and I did tell you that information. Yeah, and then I went back to my effort.
Okay, I would like to give a huge thank you to our question and answer sponsor, Merck Animal Health. Anyone in our industry knows that effectively managing your time and hitting breeding windows are crucial to success. SenseHub Cow-Calf from Merck Animal Health gives you the ability to improve both. With 24/7 monitoring, SenseHub Cow-Calf helps save time spent on visual checks and delivers data you can use to detect heats and make informed decisions on reproduction timing for AI and embryo transfer. This changes everything. Learn more at SenseHub-CowCalf.com. And when we talk about changing everything, I talked about last week, if we don't embrace these tools, especially in the reproductive side of the operations, if this was available to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't even care what it costs. If I can do a better job of getting those donors to produce viable embryos, getting the recip timing correct to implant those embryos and ultimately get more kids on the ground, whatever the cost is of that is going to be made up exponentially. So those of you out there in the cow-calf world, I suggest you go check out SenseHub-CowCalf.com. Question and answer. The first one comes from Jimmy. Thank you for being the voice of the stock show industry and the transparency you guys bring to every topic. I don't know that we're the voice, but we're very transparent. Very. My question is, what are your thoughts on the increasing prices of show stock over the past year?
We're going to have a topic on that next week, so stay tuned. That's
excellent. Excellent. Maybe Jimmy will tune in now.
Yeah.
Plenty of people are talking about it, so we will address it. In detail, Brady comes up with the next question. Love the podcast and hope to get to meet both of you someday. Well, we will both be at Houston at the same time. Ryan, you're going to come up with what day that is. Sure. Our family have shown hogs and steers the past few years. My youngest has been asking about goats and lambs. How much overlap on general management would there be, or am I starting at zero?
Starting at zero.
Not zero, but
pretty close.
I mean, some of the same principles still apply.
Principles, yeah, but there's a lot more exercise and everything else in the
sheep. It depends how competitive you want to be. Could you bounce from cattle and hogs and put a lamb in the barn and show at your county fair and be fine? Yeah, probably. But if you want to take it up to the state fair or the national level, then you're almost at zero. But some of the same animal husbandry and principles are going to apply. Whatever work ethic.
You wash them, you feed them. You
yes.
Tend to their skin and hair. Dale's lying to you, sir. I don't know who you are. Dale is lying to you. If you take this remotely seriously, I don't care what it is. Sheep and goats have more similarities than the others. You were at ground zero on the others. It's just how it is. He's just trying to solve sugarcoat this or whatever. It is not. Do not listen to him.
I think that they are ahead of somebody that's never shown or raised show animals.
Yes, because they've done it, but it's completely different. Completely.
Okay, the next question comes from Tracy. And this, you're going to get out of, you're answering basically one question today. Because this one has to be put off until another episode.
Oh, I love those. This is the best question and answer ever.
I have a question for Sheree. Known as Shrek by Ryan.
Yeah, Shrek. Yeah, what about her?
If you could pass along and get back to me in the future episode, has Ryan ever rode a school bus?
No.
And, well, I think they're wanting that to come from Cherie because I believe she may have a different answer.
She does not.
And when did you realize he was going to be a handful to control?
When I came out of the womb. She tells people that. She literally tells people I came screaming. I came out into this world screaming and not stopped. And I did not ever ride a school bus. That's just...
Not even like... Obviously, you did go to a public school, right?
For high school, yeah.
Okay. And there were maybe field trips or class trips or something.
Yeah, that didn't happen. No.
They didn't have those trips, or you just didn't get on the bus?
No, I just didn't get on the bus.
Well, how did you get there?
Somebody took me.
And we wonder why.
Y'all act like this is my problem. Y'all do not understand. I am not throwing my mother under the bus here, literally, since we're talking about school buses.
What she thought was best for you.
There were issues back then and stuff like... She just... It was just better for everyone if I had my own way. I can't. I don't want to get into it.
Did you not want to ride with the other children?
No, I didn't care. I honestly didn't care. I mean, granted, I was riding in a much nicer car than a school bus without air conditioner. But I mean, to go 30 minutes to the FFA area convention would not have bothered me. Okay. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I would have rode a school bus back and forth every day to school. No, I wasn't doing that. But I'm just saying.
I think there's a lot of kids that don't do that. I mean, I'd say never.
On a field trip or what? No, it wouldn't bother me, but it just was not in the cards. There's lots of issues that I can't go into time and whatever, and people won't believe any, but this was just not in the cards for me as a child. And she's extremely overprotective as well.
Yes, I can verify that. That she, everything she's done for you is in her mind.
I am not doubting that, but I'm just telling you, like, this was not going to happen. It just was not.
So did you enjoy with your time at A&M riding in the van with your other
I didn't mind it because I learned how to play cards. I mean, I wasn't the most popular person in the van, but I learned how to play cards and that was fun. And so, yeah, I mean, I was probably more used to anybody on that going long hours, because I rode with my stock to the majority of the shows. It's not like I got on a private jet and showed up at the show and, you know, no, I wanted to go with my cows to the shows. So I had probably more used than anybody else in that van to hours and hours in a vehicle going somewhere.
So. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. Well, it's the middle of Texas major season. I hope our listeners enjoyed that. And Ryan, thank you for the input. I hope we painted a picture as accurately as we can, but when I think back on it, it's really a culture. It's more than just numbers of animals at a show, but within the state of Texas, and I'm not saying it's not that way in other states or other areas, but within the state of Texas, there's no question this is a culture, and it's the awareness is higher there than what I see anywhere else. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now. You hear?